Cool. All right. Well, seeing as it's Advent, I thought we could talk about Emmanuel, God with us. So it's 2nd of December, day 2 of Advent. I think that's right. Maddie, you're the expert on Christmas now. Yeah. And Christmas is less than 3 weeks away, which is pretty exciting. And I know as Christians, we often talk about Jesus being the ultimate gift and the reason we celebrate. So, you know, we hear that everywhere. Jesus is the reason for the season. And when his birth was prophesied in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, he was named Emmanuel, which means God with us. Sorry. And what a gift he is. But I wonder if sometimes we get a bit blasé about this gift we have. I wonder if sometimes we don't just kind of shelve it for a rainy day. You know, we gladly accept this gift of salvation, but maybe we don't always realise it's the gift that keeps on giving, that as we continue to grow and mature in our faith, God continues to unwrap layer after layer of blessing. But we can't receive the full blessing of the gift if it's sitting on the shelf untouched. I remember this story, some of Kendo's friends telling us about their marriage proposal. And they're both pretty low-key people, so they're not into huge, big public gestures. So the boyfriend decided he'd propose to his girlfriend by getting her a custom-made puzzle that said, "Will you marry me?" when she put it all together, which is kind of cute. And she loves puzzles, so it was, you know, in theory, it was the perfect gift. But when he randomly just gave her a puzzle one day, she did what most of us would do. She put it on the shelf for a rainy day, because, like, who's got time for puzzles at any time? Now, if she really knew what was in the puzzle box, she would not have waited to open it. I think she was pretty annoyed that he didn't, like, just tell her, "Do it now." Because he's not that kind of guy. So, but yeah, like that, God doesn't want us to be polite when he offers us a gift. He wants us to tear it open with expectation. He wants to see our face shine with delight when we realise what it means, what it is and what it means for us. So I want to invite you to take hold of that marvellous gift God has offered you and continues to offer you, the gift of himself, the gift of his Son and his Spirit. So we know that God sent his Son Jesus as a man to live among us, to save us from our sin and restore us to himself. And Liz has done a wonderful job of explaining that. He sent his Holy Spirit as our guide and helper, that through him we have access to the power of God. And just a side note, I'll be talking about Father God, Jesus and Holy Spirit as distinct from one another because they are, but they also each fully God. Not God expressed in three different ways, not each one third God, and certainly not three separate gods, as there's only one God. Each are fully themselves and fully God, and they operate in perfect unity. So the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God, all the time. So the celebration of Christmas should be about how Jesus' coming means that we now have access to a real and personal relationship with God. A God who is very much present with us. God, Emmanuel. So let us consider what Emmanuel, God with us, means. God among us. God close to us. God in us. God abiding with us. God sharing himself. He shares himself with us. He shared his Son with us. And he shares his Spirit with us. God offers to be our Father, friend, lover, our comforter and teacher, our mediator, healer and counselor. And with his very presence comes every other gift. His grace, love, joy, hope, peace, fullness and life. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, "I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." But sometimes we forget this reality or even reject it. We might act as orphans, feeling as though we don't deserve God's best, so we don't even ask or accept his gift. Or we might be missing out on the fullness of God because we're blinded by jealousy, comparison, or ungratefulness, and we can't see what he's offering us. We can just see what he's offering other people. We can see both of these false perspectives in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. We all probably know this story pretty well. It's about two brothers, one brother who takes his wealth and inheritance from his father and recklessly squanders the whole lot, and another brother who sticks around. He's the one that remains on his father's property and continues with the family business. And eventually, when the prodigal son returns, once he realizes he's got nothing else left, he returns. But he's not rejected, he's not demoted by his father, as you might expect. Instead, he's reinstated, he's celebrated, and his title as son is restored to him. But this causes the other brother to feel cheated, jealous, and resentful. But his father takes him aside gently and he says to him in Luke 15:31, "You're always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy." God longs for us to take hold of this truth. "I'm with you," he says, "as you are with me. I'm in your corner. I'm for you, not against you. You're my child. What's mine is yours." It reminds me of this great story I read in a book by John Eldridge. It's called Moving Mountains. It's a book mostly about prayer, but I want to read you a story. It paints a really beautiful picture of God's relationship with us. We've all heard that we're God's children. We're sons and daughters. The curse of familiarity with the words has dulled us to the staggering truth they contain. The reality of it has not penetrated our hearts, not deeply enough. We still act and pray like orphans or slaves. But sons know who they are. Mine were just home for Christmas, all three of them. They're young men now, out making their way in the world. And as is fitting to their stage in life, they're all living on limited means. But when they come home, they get to feast. The refrigerator and pantry are theirs to pillage, and they don't have to ask permission. When we go out to dinner, there's no question that Dad will take care of the bill. For they are sons. They get to live under their father's blessing. They get to drink from the abundance of my house. And when the holidays were over and they packed up and left, they took with them my best shoes, my best sunglasses, some of my favourite books, climbing gear, and cigars, with my absolute pleasure and blessing. Luke was the last to go. He was hoping to pillage some of my travel gear for an upcoming trip. I said, "You're my son. Everything I have is yours. Plunder as you will." This is how sons get to live. This is how a father feels toward his sons and daughters. And this is how God feels about us. Do you see that? Do you feel that? Since he created us, he's longed to be with us, for us to call him Father and lavish us with blessings as his children, for us to share in his inheritance of the kingdom. Even when we were far away from him, he had a plan to draw us back, to restore the relationship, and to be with us. And in Jesus, we have the fulfillment of God's restoration plan to be with us. From the very beginning, way back in Genesis, God had a plan to close the gap created between us and him that had been caused by sin. His plan was always to send Jesus, Emmanuel. Romans 2:21-24 says, "What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners and proved that we're utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be, and he did it by means of Jesus Christ." Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to us as God in bodily form, fully man, fully God, fully awesome. And I say awesome in the true sense of the word. He came to show us that God's love, friendship, wisdom, his peace, hope, healing, righteousness, grace, forgiveness, joy, provision, courage, strength, and faith might be ours for the taking. And that's definitely worth celebrating. When we accept the gift of Jesus, we can take hold of all the blessings of being God's children. He's all we need and the answer to every problem we have. And I know that that's hard to grasp, but it's the truth. Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, God close to us, God abiding with us, God sharing himself with us, God saying, "What's mine is yours." We no longer need to be ashamed of our failings and weaknesses as humans, because our God has what we need in abundance. He delights in us asking for his help and trusting him to meet our needs. And this is how we learn to be children of God, by trusting that whatever we lack, God makes up for it, having faith that whatever we need, we can find it in him. He's inviting us to come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most, as it says in Hebrews 4:16. And that's how we can live with God and he with us, even though we're flawed and weak and he is a holy, righteous and perfect God. He designed us to need him. The Apostle Paul has a great revelation of this reality. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says to Paul, "My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness." And Paul concludes by saying, "So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me." Paul felt closer to God when he realized his own shortcomings and relied on God to come through for him. Paul understood the true meaning of Emmanuel and took full advantage of God's power, not in spite of, but because of his weakness. The only thing that can ever stop us from getting close to God is our sin. Though it's not God who rejects us, it's sin that holds us back. And yet, God made a way for us to break away from sin by sending his son Jesus. He reached out and grabbed us from sinking in the pit of our own self-made misery. All we have to do is confess our sin to God and accept the gift he offers. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So to summarize tonight, firstly, God sent his son Jesus, Emmanuel, as our rescuer. Through Jesus, God shows us that he's not a distant God, but rather a present and loving Father. Secondly, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were the ultimate gift to us. And thirdly, when we accept the gift of Jesus, we can take hold of our full inheritance as children of God. So tonight, let's take hold of this reality and think about it this Advent season. Let's sink deep into our hearts, and above all, let it motivate us to share it with others who need to know. And I think we're going to have a really good opportunity with those little bags that we've done with the reading plans. So that's all I wanted to say tonight, but I'll pray to close. Just so in awe of you, God, and the marvelous plan that you had to set things right through Jesus, your son. And we're just so grateful that we get to be a part of that, that you chose us. And I just pray that you would help us to share that with others around us, that you would help us to see what we have in you, and to take hold of those things, of joy, of your joy, of your peace, of your healing and wholeness. And that we would be able to show other people that they can't find it within themselves or in the world. They can only find it in you. God, I just pray that you would help us to just be so overflowing with that message, God. So overflowing with your love and so in awe of your grace and forgiveness. And I just thank you for this word, pray that you'd be with us, God. And I thank you that you are with us. You're Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.